Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to At the Movies with Joanna on Sedona Talk Radio. This is Joanna Paxinou, and today we are thrilled and honored to have a very special guest, Philippe Kalan, the writer-director of a very special film called Ripple Effect. Thank you so much for joining us today, Philippe.
Well, thank you for having me.
I want to tell our audience that the film Ripple Effect has won many awards, including the prestigious Director's Choice Award for Best Feature in the 2008 Sedona International Film Festival. The film is playing at the Sedona Dream Theater on August 23rd, 27th, and 29th. And I'm telling my listeners, please check their website at www.sedonatheater.com for times. But hurry, you don't want to miss this film. I saw it and I loved it. It's a beautiful film. It's beautifully acted, beautifully written and directed, and the cinematography is beautiful. I was deeply moved by it. It's thought-provoking. It's beautiful. It's powerful. And it's honest. You felt as if you were not watching a film, but part of it, part of the experience, and it's something that stays with you and you just don't forget it. But I would like to hear more from the creator of this gem of a film. Philippe, what do you hope people get out of watching Ripple Effect?
Well, I think that if people are usually conditioned by everything that Hollywood just puts out. So I think that Ripple Effect, and hope that Ripple Effect will attract an open mindset that's willing to be engaged by a different kind of a movie that has a different kind of a structure, a movie that is driven by characters probably a bit more than by the intrigue itself.
Yes.
And a movie that is trying to put out, in a way, as corny as it sounds when somebody talks about message, because I don't know enough to pass on any message to anyone. But I'm hoping that this is a movie that will touch people, and will inspire them, and will make them feel possibly a bit more connected in their daily actions. Hopefully it's going to be an enjoyable 90 minutes that they will spend watching it. That's pretty much all I can hope for. That.
Yeah, well, it's truly quite an experience, and I loved the. I was very moved by one of the messages of the film, which you've already touched on, that as one humanity, we are all connected, each to each other. I find that so compelling, that we are each connected, and we affect each other. And that's the ripple effect of the title. Could you tell us more about the other messages of the film, that our actions have consequences in others' lives, and that there's a logic to the story of our lives? Can you tell us more about those messages?
I from my point of view, I lived long enough to know that every action has its reaction, whether we're aware of it or not. We can drive through a stop sign and feel like we've gotten away with it, but as a result of our action, somebody just slams the brakes a bit too hard 50 yards away, and we're not aware of it, and gets into an accident while we just disappear in the horizon. It's just our lives are full of situations that we're not aware of that result from each one of our actions, whether accidental or deliberate. And I think that to have a certain awareness that there is this connection that links us all to each other becomes a challenging and rather thought-provoking notion that this movie puts its finger on. it is not. I'm not trying to preach, or I'm not trying to suggest that this is indeed the case. I'm just suggesting that from my experience in life, you know, there's been numerous situations that point towards that actually being the case. And I wanted to make a small movie that just puts out that idea that we're all there on the same journey, in a way, drawing and painting together what is the bigger picture without quite knowing each of our actions, how they fit in to the bigger picture. So that's a personal, you know, point of view, and I think that I don't want to say more, because there's not more to say other than the fact that it is an artistic expression around a theme that I've put out. But it's going to be up to every person to come to their own conclusions as to how it applies to their own lives.
Mm-hmm. The movie is also called A Drama About Karma. Could you touch on that for us?
If there is such a thing as a ripple effect where actions, you know, trigger reactions, then it, you know, karma is one of those words that are used that are not defined in ways that you know, I don't quite understand the idea of karma. I think that a lot of people who have done some horrific things, you know, have managed to move forward beautifully in life and distance themselves from those moments that possibly are shady or dishonest or criminal, and manage to all of a sudden belong in what apparently looks like a great place to be in. So how does karma apply, you know, in someone's progression in life, if someone can come from a place that's very dark, you know, and arrive to a place that is apparently very wonderful? So, mm-hmm. So it becomes an intangible as to how it manifests itself, and how do you get caught by karma at some point? And for those who are open-minded as to the possibility of previous lives or future lives, you know, is this something that could catch up with you in the next one, mm-hmm. or is this payoff for a past one, you know, that has made
yes.
you act up on certain things? So karma is not something that I understand in ways that I can explain it, but
mm-hmm.
that I am open to the creative notion of defining karma as, you know, allowing for those action reaction domino effects to go in full cycle and in ways come back, because it's a cycle, the ripple effect, and I think that, you know, once it just turns around, it comes back somehow and it hits you again, and it's possible that what you've put out just goes full circle and comes back and hits you back again. So you know, again, I don't want to appear as a person who seems like he knows anything that other people don't know. It's just a creative expression, and it is one that is not based on real knowledge, but it's based on personal instincts as to,
mm-hmm.
you know, what karma may be and how life, you know, possibly takes us forward.
Yes.
And there is also the fact that you know, sometimes we think we did something that is actually very bad, and we're burdened by the guilt of it, when in the reality that bad action, if we just get closer to it, we can find out that within that bad idea there was some great stuff that happened which affected
mm-hmm.
other people, you know, as part of the same process. So the notion of good and bad, the right and the wrong, you know, is broadened up by ripple effect, where some good stuff can come out of some real bad stuff,
yes.
and it can affect people positively or adversely, and it's not up to us; it's up to the ripple effect. You know,
right? Yes, I understand. What do you think made Academy Award winners and nominees Forrest Whitaker, Virginia Madsen and Minnie Driver act in your film and also produce it?
Well, they were intrigued by the story I think it's a few things. The first thing is that this is a small movie that we made fast. It wasn't burdened by the traditional Hollywood production schedules, where somebody had to be lined up 3 months before or 6 months before. I mean, because I was the producer of this film also, and I was quick on my feet, and I could put together a production blueprint and execute it and make it all happen within a narrow window of time, all of a sudden those people were available at that time that I had, you know, decided to make the movie. And then the fact that they were engaged by the story, because those are honest filmmakers, you know, they wouldn't do something that they didn't relate to or didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that Ripple Effect was a special story, and they wanted to participate in telling that story. And lastly, I think that and then there is also the fact that they had seen a movie that I did prior to Ripple Effect. That was a state of mind movie called Hollywood Buddha, and
yes.
They responded to Hollywood Buddha, and because they thought it was a whimsical, light movie that also broached on the state of mind. And that I handled it without any pretension. So they felt that I was capable maybe of broaching on delicate subjects without coming off as preachy and pretentious.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, all of those situations combined made it that they jumped on board for other reasons than basically a big payday. I can guarantee you that, because this is one of those it's one of those shoestring operations where we made this movie for a little money. We didn't compromise on the quality of the movie itself, but everybody had to basically just be slow on spending the money, because I had to do it all myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, they certainly did not compromise at all in the quality or the honesty of the film. Now, being an independent producer in Hollywood, tell us a little bit about that experience. Is Hollywood Buddha, was that your first independent movie?
No, I had produced independent films prior to... Hollywood Buddha is the first film that I directed and that I also acted in. So,
I see.
And since Ripple Effect is a movie that I directed and also acted in, you know, that's the one that actors, you know, had to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other ones had... Although I had written some other films that that were made in Los Angeles, this is the one that actors would look at to determine whether they felt comfortable working with me as an actor-director or not. So as a result of watching Hollywood Buddha, they determined that they wanted to work with me. You know, the independent producing universe of Los Angeles is very difficult, because you've got the studio system, and they have the key to the gate. And even if somebody just goes out and makes a small independent movie with entrepreneurial energy and with enthusiasm and passion, at the end of it, you know, that's a movie that has to find its way into the theaters. And
yes.
The biggest studio systems, you know, have their alliances in place with most of the exhibitors who rely
yes.
on the studio systems for the content that they show. So there is pretty much a key to the gate, to which the studios at the end of it, keep a tight grip on. So an independent filmmaker, as ambitious as he or she may be, at some point is confronted with the fact that they may end up making a very special little movie that doesn't really get the opportunity and the exposure that other movies made by the studio system would get. So it is. You need a lot of courage to go out and make an independent movie, because you know you have to know that you're confronted with the possibility of that movie not having a life.
It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking, especially because making a movie is years of someone's life, and it is a lot of money. This is not an artistic expression like painting a
yes.
beautiful canvas, which costs nothing and allows one individual to express his artistic impulses. You know, making a movie is a lot of people who invest their time, money, and passion, you know, in something that they believe, which
yes.
is an enterprise. And so it is an enterprise that has to be monetized at some point, and otherwise you cannot go on making them.
Mm.
So independent filmmakers, you know, quite often, you know, take a whipping, you know, lose money, and get discouraged, and they join the ranks of everybody else who basically looks at the studios for their next movie. Well, that's exactly what I don't do. You know, I go on making independent movies because I want to say stories that possibly the studio system is not as interested in, because
mm-hmm.
they don't think that those stories can be monetized the same way, you know, their blockbusters,
yes.
you know,
right.
are monetized. So I become a marginal player in Los Angeles, and that forces me to get tougher and stronger and more independent and more resourceful than the regular guy out here, because at the end of it, a movie has to make it into theaters.
Yes.
You know, and I know at the end of it that I may be forced to take the bull by the horn and just work hard at pushing it into theaters.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ripple Effect is being shown in Sedona at the Sedona Dream Theater this month. Will it be, our audience is national and even international. Will the Ripple Effect have other showings within the next month or so?
Well, the Ripple Effect is being released now by Monterey Media, so they are putting it in theaters.
Great.
And it is in about 20 art houses right now. So it's really targeting a demographic that the distributor thinks will take an interest in this movie. I'm sorry, go ahead.
If people wanted to see where in the country it was playing, would they go to the website www.rippleeffectthemovie.com? Would
yes.
they be listed there? Good.
The movie site will tell them where it's playing. Like, it's playing in Seattle September 5th. It's playing in Chicago September 5th. It's playing in the website will be able to show where the movie is playing.
Good, good.
New York, it's playing New York September 18th possibly. I have the whole list up on the website. AMC
correct.
Is putting it in a couple of their theaters to see if there is an audience in the AMC group. At that point, you know, they would broaden it a little bit and put it in a few more theaters. So I'm hoping, you know, people will be engaged and that Ripple Effect can go on and find its place in the ether.
Yes.
Because again, it's just a lot of work, it's a lot of time, and it's a lot of
yes.
passion that gets behind, you know, making those movies. And the expectation is never really a commercial expectation for me. I mean, I'm not looking at Ripple Effect as a movie that will change my life, other than the fact that I hope that Ripple Effect will find its way into the homes of a few individuals, you know, who will be engaged by it, and then it will be fully justified at that point.
Well, I hope it does get seen by many, many people, because it's so deserving. It's such a wonderful film. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about your other film, Hollywood Buddha?
Well, Hollywood Buddha is a movie that I made that, I mean, this is as experimental a movie as one will ever make. I had bought a house in Los Angeles. My wife was 2 weeks pregnant, and we finally buy a little house, and we decide to settle in and nest in it and have a family. An architect comes and, you know, helps me a little bit with doing some small remodeling work where we wanted to make the bedroom a little bit bigger. And then he tells me, look, Philippe, you know, you're living in a fire hazard area. It's Mandeville Canyon. You know, you've got a roof that's made of shingle. Why don't you take the shingle off and put tile so that it's better? So I said, you know what, it's a good idea. And then he gave an order to the crew to take the roof down, and they understood, take the house down. And
oh, no.
I left for about 3 days, and then I came back, and my house was taken down all the way to the footing. And that was an extraordinary moment in my life, because I had to truly hold back. I had to decide right there and then who I was as a person. I mean, because naturally, I mean, you go crazy on something like this. The guy didn't have the money to pay rebuilding my house. The insurance would not cover it because it's my own action of taking it down. And the bank that lent me, you know, the money and had financed the house on as a house, not as a piece of land, which means that I found myself stuck with a loss, an immediate loss, plus I had no house. So at that point, you know, the most important thing was to contain my negative emotions and my violent instincts, because, I mean, I could have wrung this guy's neck right there and then. And I almost did, but then I just took a deep breath and I said, okay, why did this happen? I don't want to believe it's this guy's stupidity, which it was an accident. It was just a freak accident. This guy is a very talented, wonderful architect who is from Guatemala. I love him dearly. He's a friend of mine today. And I, you know, it was a mistake, and I was concerned all of a sudden that he was going to have a heart attack before I would, you know, based on his mistake, because he knew that he had it was a huge mistake. So at that point, I said, okay, well, you know, this is something that is telling me, you know, this problem is a crisis in my life, because it's waking me up to new realities. And I decided at that point that I took 3 days and I went into a real thinking mode of finding out what was my life about, that I had to just see the destruction of a house happen like this. And I associated it with my life basically going nowhere at that point, and that I had to reinvent myself altogether into what I should be and into finding out who I am. And at that point, I decided that I would not direct movies anymore, that I would not produce movies anymore, that I would start directing them, and that I'm going to be more of an artistic force in my project as opposed to a producer who supports other artistic, you know, elements. And so I just put a tent up on the lawn of my property. There was no house, and I lived in it for about 2.5 years with my wife and my child, who came into the world, you know, pretty much in a tent.
Wow.
And I decided to shoot Hollywood Buddha as an experimental movie of somebody who was living in his tent because he could not complete, you know, his house. And it's actually a very timely movie if it were to be out today, because it would be like the zen of the housing meltdown. You know?
Yes.
So that's what happened with Hollywood Buddha. And I made this little movie as a result of a bad accident that happened. And it ended up winning festivals, and it ended up, you know, putting me in under the spotlight in Los Angeles, and it got the attention of all those actors who decided to work with me on Ripple Effect as a result of having made Hollywood Buddha, which is the result of an accident that was never planned and circumstances that basically were the Ripple Effect. That's truly the first materialization of the Ripple Effect in my life, is that my house went down, and as a result of it, I made a movie, which as a result of, I made Ripple Effect, and now I'm making another movie as a result of the Ripple Effect.
That's wonderful. Pardon me?
So that is as crazy a story as you will hear. But I'm living that kind of experimental life where my eyes are wide open to things that happen all the time that I look at with a curious mind. It's like I never. Every time there is a situation in my life that all of a sudden throws me off, I try to really look at it from a different point of view and try to find the benefits in that situation.
Yes.
Because I believe that there is a benefit, there is something in everything that we live, that if only we can look at things from another place, then what, how we do it usually.
Wow. Well, that's an incredible story. What film are you working on next? Do you have something in the works?
Yeah, I have a few movies that I'm doing. You know, there is a movie that I'm doing which is touching on monogamy. It's a movie called Brutally Honest, and it is basically a state of mind comedy, and I play a married man, you know, who ends up going, you know, with a girl, but it ends up being a platonic relationship with a girl who just brings me back on track in a very exciting way. So that moment of going with a younger woman is actually something that, you know, I shouldn't do, but the reality, it turns out that it's the best thing that happened for my relationship with my wife and for me rediscovering myself and reinventing myself and going forward, you know, with more honesty. So that's why it's called brutally honest. So it's a platonic relationship with a woman who manages to take me away, to actually reinvent me in the process of taking me away, in what turns out being a completely platonic relationship that is about honesty and truth rather than the thrills of a fast lived fling.
Well, it sounds like another wonderful movie coming from you, and we will definitely be on the lookout for that. Do you anticipate when it'll be released?
Well, I'm going to be shooting it soon. This is a movie that, for now, I'm laying out a production blueprint for it. I'll be shooting it probably between now and the end of the year. It's something which will probably be out by the end of next year, I would think.
Well, Philippe, unfortunately, our time is coming to an end, and I want to thank you so much for sharing this time and your thoughts with us. I so appreciate your being with us today.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say that for films to be considered successful in Hollywood, they have to make a lot of money and be seen by millions. But for me, a successful film is one that stays with the audience after it's over, one that makes the audience think and feel. And Ripple Effect does this. It's a film that stays in your heart, and I urge everyone to go see it. It's now at the Sedona Theater. Their website is www.sedonatheater.com. Go there to see their days and times, and for more information on the film and where it will be also shown in other states, go to www.rippleeffectthemovie.com. Thank you again, Philippe. I so enjoyed listening to you. I could listen to you forever. And thank you for making a beautiful film and an experience that I will never forget. And I look forward to your next film, Brutally Honest. And your film is honest and beautiful and moving. And thank you for making these wonderful independent films.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us today. And be sure to see Ripple Effect and any other film by Philippe Calan. I'm sure it'd be a wonderful and meaningful experience. Thank you again for listening. This is Joanna Paxinou at the Movies with Joanna on Sedona Talk Radio. And that's a wrap.